Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
It is time to welcome to the studio Larry the Lawyer for the final Ask an Attorney segment of 2018. How are you?
I'm awesome, buddy. How are you?
Ready for the holidays?
Never ready for the holidays.
No, never ready, right?
No, I got to get chopping done. Giving me heart attacks
it
already.
Is Christmas a big divorce season?
Christmas is a very busy time of the year. But interestingly enough, it's actually after Christmas that we get the boom when the credit card bills start coming in. People realize how much their spouse spent on the kids.
That's when
things get ugly.
Yeah. We have, I don't believe we've opened up the Angry Mark Hsu Festive Stress Advent Calendar yet today. We could do that quick here.
Mm-hmm.
But, go ahead, open that up.
There's 13 days left.
Okay.
Till Christmas.
13 days
and,
left.
And you know what? If I have to write out another stupid Christmas card, because nobody cares, they open them, right? They look at them, they go, that's nice. They throw them right in the trash.
Right.
It's almost like one singular motion, isn't
right,
it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's cool. Like, oh, great. Now I won't hold a grudge against them for not sending me a card.
It's become the Christmas cards have become the photos of the kids. That's really the
squirrels.
No disrespect, Danielle, but that's what
Santa squirrel.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a mother that takes every one of those Christmas cards with the family photos and pastes them on the big window or the
refrigerator? The mirror. Yep.
You get 100 of them.
Yep.
I don't have a mother that does that. I have a wife.
Even better.
Yep.
It happens. All right. You can text with your question on the text line, which is 97107, or you could call on the Framingham Ford studio line. That number is 617-764-WAAF. Here's a text from somebody who goes to a lot of antique stores and thrift shops, and they always have a sign which says, "You break it, you've bought it."
Got it.
Is that law legal or not?
You can look, but you better not touch.
Oh, that's a Springsteen
song. You see what I did
there? That's a Springsteen song.
That is a Springsteen song. Yes, it is.
Well, can they hold you accountable if you break some kind of a vase from the Ming Dynasty at an antique store?
Fairly certain, yes.
Okay.
You break it, you bought it.
That's been around since
before Christ.
Okay.
Bull in a china shop,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much all of those things.
Here's a 978 text. I just got called for jury duty, and my boss says I don't get paid. Do you get paid for your time missed for jury duty in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
I believe it's optional. If the employer pays, they cannot fire you for going to jury duty. I believe the state, for example, will pay you for your first day, but not your second or third.
Okay.
The problem is when you get brought in for federal jury duty, which could last months and months. So I believe the answer is no, they don't have to pay you. A lot of companies do, though.
Here is a scenario that many of us who have older parents, older mothers in particular, could probably relate to. And it makes me a little bit wary. Here's a 508 text. My father died 15 years ago and left everything to my mother in an irrevocable trust, including the house. She is now 85 and has a live-in male friend of the same age.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Sexy town.
He suddenly has offered to pay the utilities and wants them in his name.
Oh, no.
Would this establish residency and make it difficult to get him out of the house if my mom passes before him?
So
great question.
It is a great question, but the problem is they're a little late to the game. If he lives there, it is his residence. So, you know, it already is his residence. So my advice, let him pay the bills. He's already there. He's already living there. Let him pay the bills.
But wait a second. If she passes away, so she took a live-in lover.
Live-in lover.
85.
Greg, 85. He's a companion.
What's that look like, Greg?
She took She was married for 15 years. She said, I'm going hog wild. So she took in the 85-year-old guy. They're probably in the hot tub, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon doing Lord knows what.
And ready for the early bird special.
If she passes away before him just because he lives there, he would have a right to that house?
No. That's a different situation.
Okay.
He's never going to get ownership of the house, but now you're going to have to evict him.
Okay.
He's a tenant.
So he could just stay there.
Yeah. Well, until they evict him. Yeah.
Until they evict him. So you have to go through the whole court process of evicting him.
Well, my advice, keep your mom healthy.
Yeah, yeah. This is Justin. Hello, Justin.
Greg, good morning.
What's happening?
Got a quick real estate question for Larry here. Now, I know Nancy could probably answer the question, but I'm going to ask Larry.
Yes,
Larry segment, though. Larry's segment.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Real quick, so I'm looking at purchasing a home from an estate, and I heard there's a law in place where I put an offer in, signed the P&S, but there's still a possibility that the estate could the property from the estate could be sold to a higher bidder if the house is put on the market for sale. Is that true? I'm buying the house. It's not currently listed on the MLS. I wanted to kind of get some clarification on that.
So the issue with buying from an estate is that if there was a will or even if there wasn't a will and the property hasn't gone through it, you have to probate that property. You have to get court approval to sell it. So you really need your court approval for that sale to be effective. So your information is correct.
It is. Okay, thanks.
It's called a license to sell, and it's obtained through the probate court through the estate process.
774 text for Ask an Attorney. My daughter got caught shoplifting at Six Flags.
Uh-oh.
They wouldn't let me see her right away and made me wait. They also made her sign paperwork and took her phone. She is 14 years old. Any recourse here?
What?
I mean, she's a minor, so, you know, you should have a parent there, but it's not required. You know, and as I've told you before, if it's Six Flags is doing these things, that's one standard. But if it's the police that are doing these things, it's another standard. I mean, honestly, I think that what you really need to do is you really need to have a conversation with your daughter about not taking things that don't belong to her instead of worrying about, you know, did they talk to her without you?
Yeah.
Parenting 101.
Here's a 617 text. I would like for Larry the lawyer to settle a work argument. I say, if Whitey Bulger's family is successful in suing with the wrongful death suit, that the victim's families take the money. He says that Bulger's family keeps the money. How would that work? They are going to file a wrongful death suit. They want to figure out, I think they're filing really to figure out how he got sent there and put out in the general pop. But who would get the money in that case?
So it's going to be, I imagine it's going to be the estate that's going to sue, and it's going to be the heirs of the estate that get that money. It's not something that he profited from committing his crime. So that, you know, that's a different story there. But this is a wrongful death claim, so it's going to go to the estate.
Here's a 617 text. I just started work at a new place, and the owner hangs mistletoe over his office door every year, apparently as a joke.
Okay.
I find it offensive. Could I sue for this?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't really know what's offensive about that.
And he said it was a joke, right?
Apparently, it's his joke.
I think it's funny.
You're not required, right? If he says it's a joke.
If he attacks her and swaps spit with her, you can call it Larry Army.
I mean, LB still tries to get a laugh out of the mistletoe belt every year.
Mistletoes are funny.
You think mistletoe equals funny? I don't know.
I have a 10-year-old that, you know, she runs around the house with the mistletoe, and I think it's funny.
Yeah, you might want to watch
her. If the guy is grabbing you and hanging out with you under the mistletoe and it's your boss, obviously that's freaky. We got an issue there.
But could you sue if mistletoe made you uncomfortable in the workplace?
I wouldn't say no with today's day and age. Anything is fair game.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, look, I don't know. Maybe my sense of humor is a little bit warped and a little bit behind the time, but I mean, I think it's kind of funny, to tell you the truth. I mean, I could see the boss sitting in there waiting for the people to come through his desk. It's probably not nice, but
here's somebody who says this is the next long time Christmas tradition to go away because of the social justice warriors and Me Too. Is the mistletoe it's got to be gone.
There's a reason for the Me Too, but I just think that we're just so out of hand right now. I mean,
Everything is in it. What do you think of Baby It's Cold Outside? Could you sue if you were triggered by that song?
having daughters and sisters and mothers and all those things, I think that women should be treated respectfully. So I'm not saying that, but I think that we are looking way too deep into things that are offensive. I mean, look at the time that song was written and look at the world that we were in. It was just a different place back then. I'm not saying that it's not offensive in today's day and age, but I don't think that anybody intended it to be that way back then.
Right.
774 text for Ask an Attorney. I pay my rent on time every month, sometimes even early. Right now, I cannot take a shower at home because there is a pipe broken. Can I hold back on my rent?
So you technically could hold back and make the repair yourself and deduct it. You know, I think that the better thing to do is to make sure that your landlord understands in advance that if he doesn't take care of that problem in a certain time period, which to me, if it's a cold shower, it would be about an hour.
Yeah, right.
You're going to take care of that, and you're going to deduct it from your rent.
Yeah. This is... Oh, shoot. My bad over here. This is Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, what's going on, kid?
What's up, Will?
Happy holidays to everybody. Love this segment.
It's been great all year. I think we're going to continue. We'll continue it in the new year, right, Larry?
Yeah, new year, new problems.
All right, new year, new problems. Yeah.
So cool, so funny, and we should keep up the unicorn segment too. But Larry, was wondering about collecting on my ex's SSI in retirement. So we were married for over 10 years.
Yeah.
She ended up making a lot more money than me.
Well done, son.
Thank you, my friend. So is that right? I mean, I sort of looked it up online a little bit, but is that something that I can collect on her retirement?
Yeah, I mean, Social Security can go to the surviving spouse, even if you're divorced. So that is something that is real.
Okay, it is real.
Yeah.
And she, like I said, she makes a lot more money than me. And
I got to tell you, you sound awful young. I mean, what are you planning here?
No. Yeah. No, there's not. I'm not going Snells or anything. I'm 50. I'm like, I'm just thinking, you know.
Yeah.
You're planning for your retirement.
Yeah, planning for retirement.
Yeah.
So he can.
Lawyer up, exactly. Dude.
He can theoretically get access to some of that, right, Larry?
Yeah. You got to be married 10 years, and if you're married 10 years and it's your ex-spouse.
Yeah.
And you're unmarried at the time, 62 years of older. There's a whole list of things, but yes, you can definitely collect from your spouse's or your ex-spouse's Social Security benefits.
781 text for Larry the lawyer. If your son, who is a minor, gets a girl pregnant, who is responsible for the child support, the parents or the minor?
See, now I thought we were going to have a different twist here. I thought we were going with who's going to be charged with the statutory rape.
Right.
Which is another issue.
Yeah.
And you know, believe it or not, you got to be careful with that. If the baby's mother is over 18, it is still technically statutory rape. And they're going to be putting this kid on the birth certificate as well. So there's no consent. It's a strict liability crime. So first and foremost, I'd be careful about that.
Yeah.
But secondly, the child support is not something that's ever going to be attacked to the parents. It's going to be the benefit. It's going to be the benefit of the child from the actual parents. So as long as
he's a minor, so he's 16 or 17 or something, got the girl pregnant. The parents aren't responsible for the child support. He has to try to pay that himself.
Yeah, and he's probably going to end up with a minimum order, which I think right now is $25 a week.
Okay, that would be the minimum.
So, yeah. All right. I mean, he's going to have to grab his mower and he's going to have to walk down the street. Right?
Yeah. Double shifting at McDonald's.
Here's a 978 text. I signed a non-compete agreement with my company 7 years ago. In October, Governor Baker signed into law requirements for non-competes to be enforceable, including stating that you have the right to consult a lawyer before signing. My non-compete, because it was signed 7 years ago, does not state that. Is it valid today?
Yeah, if it was valid then, it's valid today. And covenants not to compete were valid beforehand. What the governor did is he just added some language to them and he shored them up a little bit. But there's still common law, case law on these types of things. So, yes, if it's limited to scope in terms of the time, you know, it can't be for your life, maybe a year, for example, and it's limited in geographic scope, then it can be upheld.
Here's a 978 text. I work in retail, and I am being told that I have to work on Christmas Eve. My family traditionally has a Christmas Eve celebration, and I asked for the day off long ago. Can I? What are you laughing about, Lindy?
I just love these people. Quit. You can take 4 weeks off.
Question is, can they force me to work on Christmas Eve?
I think my associate from Canada handled that one same way that I was going to handle it.
You would say they can.
I would say, yeah. You don't like it, quit.
Can a business force you to work on a holiday?
Yes.
They can. Okay,
yeah,
they can.
I mean, if they're open and you take a job knowing that, yeah.
I mean, I guess you shouldn't take a job in retail thinking that you're going to get Christmas around Christmas off. Yeah. I'd like a very light schedule during Christmas here at the retail
the week weekends, before. No
exactly.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking, boss man, is I'd like maybe like the week off before Christmas, and then I'm thinking maybe I'll come in on the 28th.
Can a current employer give me a bad reference in order to sabotage my chances of getting a job at a competing company?
Well, they can, but you could sue them if it's untrue, libel or slander. And then, you know, honestly, Greg, most of the time today, the only thing you're going to get a real employer to say is that you worked here between this time period and that time period.
That's it.
You aren't getting anything else if they're smart.
If you talk to the employment experts and the legal experts, they say never give a recommendation for somebody. The only thing that you should do is acknowledge that they did indeed work there during that period of time.
Yeah, but how many times have you just wanted to write that letter and say, this person sucks. Run.
Yeah, like when the FedEx truck pulls up outside and they lump that 7-pound folder of mine into the back. Yeah. Not good. 774 text.
Because recreational cannabis is legal here in Massachusetts, can my employer penalize me for usage?
So the answer on that one is ultimately yes. You can't go to work high. You can't go to work drunk. Depending on what you are in terms of first responder status or something else, the standard is probably going to be a little bit different for your job. But it's no different than alcohol. You know, you can't go into work hammered. You can't go into work high.
But there's also the case of what if they need it medically?
And again, that's that gray area.
And they can't perform their job because maybe they're in pain. The cannabis relieves their pain, and then you're kind of in a dilemma there.
So, but the problem with that is that now we're going to talk about the difference between THC and CBD oils.
Right.
So you don't technically need to get high to manage your pain, which is the problem with that argument.
Right.
It makes it no fun.
But it's in their blood, so, you know.
And it's always in their blood. And, you know, this comes down to operating as well, Greg. Another hot button issue with the marijuana, because as Mike pointed out, when you have these tests, it doesn't necessarily, you could smoke for the first time ever and get caught driving, for example, and your THC limits are going to be minuscule, but you could be completely wasted versus somebody that smokes 5 joints a day every day of the week.
Don't point at me.
I'm not pointing
at you. It's been a long time since I could pull that one off.
I'm pointing at the computer. You know, that person could have a huge reading, Greg, but not be impaired at the moment that they're driving. So it's one of those things that there's a lot of work left to do to figure out exactly how this is going to affect people moving forward.
Here's a 617 text that says, my financial planner told me that you can no longer collect Social Security from your ex-spouse. Is Larry 100% sure that he is right about that?
Well, I'm never 100% sure, but I'm 99.9 on this one.
You are. You're 99.9.
Yeah, the federal law basically states if you're married over 10 years and there's certain things that have to happen, then you're entitled to that Social Security.
Can a business run an at-work promotion for 30 days and then make you take a lie detector test at the end to prove that you did what you did to win the contest in order to collect your prize?
Is this, like, who does this?
Yeah, that's
like, this is the best part about this show. Honestly, it's not my advice, people. Oh, it's your questions. And
we
I
have
wanna
some
meet
great
the guy.
Questions. I mean, you want to make them make the guy who,
I
want to
meet the guy that's
the
got a lie detector test in his office.
I know.
Because I want one in my office.
I know. It seems like a lot of work to try to avoid paying somebody some incentive bonus or
Could
something.
Could you imagine
like
if I had a lie detector test with my divorce clients?
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
I mean, I guess he can he do that? I mean, he's running some incentive like the most sales in a month or something, and he wants to run them through a lie detector test.
It seems unnecessary if it's a sales thing and you're bringing in the orders and they're paying. You think that would be a good measurement?
I don't know what the contest was. I mean who's good? I don't know who. I don't know what kind of a who answers the phone in the most polite manner.
It's a fascinating contest.
It is very fascinating.
And I wonder what is the reward that he's so worried about guarding it with a lie detector test.
Well, I guess the question is, can you be forced at work to take a lie detector test?
So I'm going to say no. Nobody can force you to take a lie detector test, but under the rules of the contest, you may not get your victory.
Mm. Okay. And what about if there's something, this comes up sometimes where something is missing at work. Something has been stolen.
Oh.
Can a business institute lie detector tests and force everybody who works there to take it, or they could be fired? I would assume
they're not admissible in court, so I don't know what the reasonable use would be in that situation.
Yeah.
These are crazy questions.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting. Thought-provoking, Greg.
The contest. Oh, here's the 978 text. Listen to this. The contest. This is extraordinary. The contest that they are talking about is they are offering $100,000 for an employee who does not use their cell phone for 1 year.
All right. So listen, that's a great contest. That's a great contest. And what I love about that is that the way that texter describes it, you can use somebody else's phone, right?
Yes, you could.
Is the lawyer in me always looking for that loophole, Greg.
For
$100,000, yeah.
They can do the lie detector.
I'd make them do one.
Who's the guy or the woman who has the business who's willing to throw $100,000 at a? It must be people are constantly on the social medias and the phone and texting their friends and it's so worth it to them to get their employees off the phone and focused on work that they'll pay $100,000 if you can stay off the phone for a year.
Be Who careful you're not calling out phone? One of your sponsors like Mr. Bach. Somebody that could pull that off right there.
Yeah. All right. We're with Larry the lawyer, and it is Ask an Attorney. We'll continue. This is the final Ask an Attorney segment of 2018 here on the Hillman Morning Show. I want to thank those of you who have donated to the Greg Hill Foundation over the last couple of days for the family of fallen Worcester firefighter Christopher Roy. I just got an update, and so far you have given $37,416 to the Greg Hill Foundation. And, we've been talking about it for the last couple of days. The more I read about firefighter Roy, the more I realize what a incredible guy he was and what a great job he did as a single dad to his daughter. So I want to thank those of you who have given and will continue to give. You can donate when you go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org. And I also want to mention that you can go to any paper store and donate in person today, tomorrow, or Friday, and at the end of the week, we will total it all up and write a check for his 9-year-old daughter. So thank you to those who have given. You could go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org to give. It is 9:08, and today's weather brought to you by Spot Hero. We have an unfortunate person who is texting for Ask an Attorney in a moment with regard to parking and to the dreaded boot, and we will get to that in a second. However, it is going to be sunny today, and the temperature is going to be 34 for a high, and it is 29 right now here in scenic, secure Brighton, Massachusetts. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking and avoid a boot. Simply download the free Spot Hero app and reserve the closest spot to your destination in advance. You'll save time and get everywhere much easier. Take $10 off your first spot with promo code WHEEL. That is promo code WHEEL. So Larry the lawyer is here. Final Ask an Attorney segment of 2018. 617 text. My car was booted in Southie. Rims scratched by the boot. Any recourse?
I mean, if they did it, yeah, they don't have the right to ruin your property while they secure it, but you're going to have a difficult time probably proving that they did do it.
Good luck fighting. Is this a good luck fighting?
The rims.
Is this a good luck fighting City Hall thing?
I mean, look, it's just never a good thing to fight City Hall. It's well, not easy. It takes forever. And if you're successful, the limits on liability are very small compared to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, they don't have the right to ruin your property. So if they did and you can prove it, then go after them.
My daughter's ex-boyfriend bought a dog on Craigslist. The whole time they were dating, my daughter took care of the dog, which included paying all of the vet bills and even had it microchipped with her name on it. Now that they are not together, does she have any legal right to the dog?
So if the dog was a gift, the gift is completed upon the act of the gift going to her. So if it was a gift and, you know, she's taken care of the dog and she's done all the vet bills, sounds like it's her dog, Greg. I don't know if there's a bill of sale that came with this dog that's in his name. That would change things a little bit as well. So I think we need a little bit more information, but the short answer is, if he's going to keep the dog, you should just be thankful that he didn't marry your daughter because he sounds like a real winner.
All right.
Got to look at the bright side, right, Greg?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a 978 text. I work in a restaurant where the boss has cameras, but her actual intent is to watch the employees, not the customers. Is it legal to have cameras and not post that it is under surveillance? And can surveillance also include audio? Does it need to be posted as well?
So that's kind of a loaded question, Greg, because there's a couple different things going on there. So as it relates to the public who are coming into that restaurant, you know, you have to notice them that you're going to be audio recording. Massachusetts is a two-party consent state. Having said that, I will tell you that employers can, in fact, record in the workplace audio and video. And they do not have to tell the employee, that they are recording.
They don't?
No.
Okay.
No. And that falls under it's a federal law. It's not a state law. And it's the employee, I forget the name of it. Basically, it's the
Spying on the Employee Act.
Privacy Act or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, for example, if you have a business that has a telephone sales aspect to it, employee can listen into all of those calls. Your employee can listen to those calls. If it's a personal call, they're supposed to hang up.
Mm.
And when it relates to inside the workplace, Greg, they can record audio and video things that you're doing in the actual workplace. But if you're in the bathroom or the cafeteria or a locker room, for example, then they can't do those things there as well. So, yes and no.
Here's a 781 text. Yesterday, I found a metal spring in my bisque.
Oh.
Need to know what kind of bisque. Was it tomato? Was it tomato cream or lobster? Either good, as long as you have bread to dip. or even a mushroom bisque. Any recourse here?
I mean, if they swallowed it and choked on it and, you know, went through their system, ripped them up, yeah, you got some damages.
You have to have damages, right?
You have to have damages.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get a new soup at a minimum, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you've been a restaurateur.
Yes, yes.
I mean, what
yes.
would you do? Would you give the free meal or the free soup?
I would give them, I'd say, here's a free soup, and why don't you come back again and join us another time?
Yeah. Not the whole meal?
I would say, ixnay.
That would ruin my entire dining experience. I'd expect the whole thing to be comped.
I'd say, ixnay on the elp yay.
Exactly.
If you could. Yeah.
I'd rather a spring than a piece of hair, though. I draw the line with
agreed. Her. Agreed.
Instantly vomiting.
What if the guy was served fraudulent lobster, as someone once was who called this program?
Was it lobster or crab?
Crab. Yes, fake crab. I have a rental, 781 text. I have a rental on Cape Cod that I do weekly rentals on during the summer, and then a winter rental from October through May. Second home here. Can I put surveillance cameras outside of the property if I properly advise the renters by posting about it?
As long as you're not videoing audio, as long as it's video only, Greg, and not audio, you can do that.
You can. Yeah. Okay. Here's a text that says, Greg would say no charge for the spring. That's what that would happen with the bisque.
You know what? That's kind of a good point. I didn't think of that, Greg.
Let's see. Is it illegal? I don't know why you would do this, but here's a 978 text. Is it illegal to not cash an inheritance check?
Is it illegal to not cash a check that's going to give you money?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
But why would one do that?
They're not bright.
Oh, okay. But it's not illegal.
It's not illegal. It's just stupid.
Right.
Yeah, you're not mandated.
Okay.
Well, who doesn't like
it? I mean, if there's a tax issue or you know, something like that, you can always not take the inheritance and it goes back into the pool and the people that are supposed to get it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not illegal.
Here is a 617 text for Larry the lawyer during Ask an Attorney. Larry traveling home to see family over the holidays. Home for the holidays.
Great.
And wondering whether or not one should invest in the rental car insurance or not.
What could happen to Seinfeld?
What do you advise as an attorney on that?
So, if you have auto insurance, you don't need their insurance. If you have a $1,000 deductible, for example, you pay your deductible and then your insurance covers any damage, assuming you have collision as well. The insurance is not that much money. I mean, it covers everything from $0 all the way up. So if it's a day rental, I don't know. I've never gotten it myself,
but
it's a personal decision.
Yeah. Have you ever done any damage to a rental car?
No, although I will tell you this. Back in college, I did know some people that used to rent vans. I was not a part of this.
Yeah.
They would literally get every piece of insurance they could, and the way these vans came back, it was windows broken.
Right.
It was scratched. Things over the side of it that you wouldn't want any kids seeing.
It was an issue. Yeah.
And they'd bring it back in and they'd say, well, we have the insurance. And they'd leave and it would cover the van.
Yeah. I don't believe I've ever heard a story that starts with back in college that ends well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most of them, they don't.
Does not exist.
My roommates, here's a 508 text. My roommates and I would like to sublet our apartment for less than a year. Do we have to pay a subletter's fee to our landlord?
So typically, if you have a lease is going to detail how you can sublet. And a lot of times, landlord will not let you sublet without their approval. Obviously, if they put you in, they know you're a good credit risk. They want to make sure whoever's coming in is a good credit risk. So you got to read your lease when it relates to that. The other thing that typically, Greg, just to be aware of, a lot of landlords say if you're subletting a property out, and you're getting more rent than the landlord charged you, that excess rent goes to the landlord as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So take a look at your lease, and that's going to be what controls.
This is Jay on the Framingham Ford studio line. Framingham Ford is Metro West Commercial Truck Headquarters. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Morning.
I'm doing well. Quick, this is going to be real quick. So my mother, from May to October, was seeing a dentist for some oral pain, tooth pain, and went through the whole process of getting appointments and checked out, and the dentist ended up taking out the wrong tooth in the process. So where my question is, now she's seeing another one, but she's about to get everything else fixed. And my question is, can we go after this other dentist for removing, from malpractice, or what's your thoughts, Larry?
Yeah, it's dental malpractice in all likelihood. You should talk to an attorney. Again, we've talked about it on the show a lot, Greg. When people have a problem with a doctor or a dentist, any kind of malpractice or personal injury claims, always better to go to an attorney because they're not going to charge you to evaluate your case. So at a minimum, you're going to walk out of there with some information about what you can and cannot do. At a maximum, you're going to walk out of there with an attorney who's going to go after this and fight at no cost to you.
Jay, I got one word for you, buddy.
What's up?
Sokolov. Or maybe it's two. Is it Sokolov and Sokolov? Or is Sokolov still in business?
He's a loner.
I think he is, yeah.
Okay, all right,
well, it's Feinstein and Four Lizzie that split up. So Barry Feinstein stuck around. I don't know what happened to Four Lizzie. But yeah, Jim Sokolov, I think, is still doing commercials on his motorcycle.
This is Larry, you got to go to court this morning, right?
You got to leave soon? Court. I'm having too much fun, buddy.
Okay. All right, hold on. Here's Chelsea.
Last show of 18.
Yeah, this is the last show of the year with Larry the Lawyer. Chelsea.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. So I am a waitress at a restaurant, and one of the owners bartends at that restaurant most nights. Is it illegal for us waitresses to have to tip her out at the end of the night?
No, that happens in almost every service industry.
Yeah, that's pretty standard practice.
As a waitress, you know that the better those drinks are, the better your tip is.
You're saying
your bartender's happy. But someone said that it was illegal for the owner to accept tips from their workers.
Yeah, you're saying that, you're saying the owner owns the place and she's getting tips when it's a she or a he?
She.
And she's getting tips when she bartends. Is that illegal? No, it's not. That's not illegal. Yeah. That's
hopefully not. She doesn't recognize your voice right now.
No point, I'll be. That's why we keep him around, Greg.
Let's see here. 978 texts. I am just at the end of my divorce, and I hit a scratchy for a good sum of money. Should I wait until my divorce is over to cash the ticket?
Yes.
You know, Greg, this is one of those questions that when I answer it, I get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to leave it at this. www.armyandroach.com. We'll help you.
I mean, he shouldn't cash it, right?
Can I, LB.
Can I chime in on this?
You can.
Do you have a best friend?
The best friend should cash it, Whitey yes. Bulger style? Is that what you're saying?
You know the money changes everything.
Throw your best friend a little dough.
Uh-huh.
And have him cash it for you.
I mean, look, I will tell you this, Greg. If you cash it during the pendency of a divorce and you won it during the pendency of your divorce, it is still a marital asset.
Right.
I believe during this year, we've had a couple of fake bube questions. Mm. And we have one now, 781 text.
Remember that guy?
Which guy?
The guy that paid for the boobs?
Yeah.
And then the divorce came the next day?
Well, listen to this one. This 781 texter bought fake boobs for his now ex-wife. The doctor screwed them up.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
When they were together, they couldn't find a lawyer that would take the case. If she got a lawyer and a settlement, could he go after it now because he paid for said boobs?
So typically a separation agreement says you're waiving any and all claims as it relates to anything that comes in that's not included in that. So if you wanted that protection, you should have put it in your separation agreement, or you should have made an argument at trial to have it become a part of the judgment. I would suggest that if it's an asset, it's something that you should have handled prior to now.
A lot of restaurant people are checking in.
Here we go.
Saying that they believe it is illegal for an owner to share in the pooled tips. That is what
But that's not what I just said.
No, it's not. It's not.
The earlier this year, as part of the budget spending bill that was passed, the president did sign a provision that stated that employers, managers, and supervisors cannot collect or retain tips made by employees. However, I don't know if that specifically applies to an owner working in the capacity of a bartender.
Well, but they're not saying that they're taking tips from employees.
That was my point.
They're just getting tips. The owner is behind the bar doing a shift behind the bar.
Right.
But they're asking for the waitresses to tip out her at the bar.
That's what they do.
I mean, you tip out a bartender.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, because she's working in that capacity.
So you don't tip out any other bartender, but
right.
So you're just getting pissy?
Right.
She's putting in the effort.
Right.
I mean,
she's
not
that's standard practice.
I think what you might want to ask yourself is someone that's bartending has the power of firing people.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing, Greg, that I've learned over the last 9-10 months that we've been doing this show. People will do anything to get out of work and to, to keep that work money in their pocket, which
I
get it.
He's right there, Larry.
But, man, be grateful, right?
Yes. Thank you, Hill Duck.
Here's a 617 text. Speaking of bartending, my girlfriend just took a new job bartending, and they keep telling her that what she is wearing is not revealing enough. Mm. Does she have a case here?
I mean, if they have a uniform standard that she knew about when she went in, you know, that's one thing.
Oops.
If she's working in a strip joint or Hooters, you know, that's another thing. If she's working at the Capitol Grill, that's another thing. So we need a little bit more information. But, you know, just saying that you're not revealing enough to me is a problem.
That would be a sexual harassment kind of
thing?
I don't
know what it would be, but it just doesn't pass the scratch and sniff test of what's cool.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's because I have daughters, but I wouldn't want somebody telling my kids they got to wear less unless they knew going in. And, you know, for example, like Hooters, you can't say I'm not going to wear the Hooters outfit when you go to get a job at Hooters. You know
right.
that that's what you're going to put on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tilted kilt.
Right. I am in the middle. Here's a 401 text. I am in the middle of my divorce and my ex-wife just bought a house with her new boyfriend. Am I entitled to any equity from that house?
So if you're Massachusetts and it's something that comes in during the pendency of a marriage or the pendency of divorce when you're still technically married, it is a marital asset. The court can look at that from an equitable standard. And equity is, we've talked about in the past, Greg, is another word for fairness. So the judge is going to look at that and say, "Ah, we'll see." Now, if she used marital money to go towards that house, you know, then definitely there's an issue there. If it was a situation where the boyfriend bought the house and it's in his name only and she's living there, you're not getting any of it.
This is Ask an Attorney for One More Time in 2018 with Larry the Lawyer, and this is Paul. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
I had a question about, my mother died about 6 years ago. She had an annuity with like $100,000 in it. When we contacted the annuity company, they said that the benefit died with her and they get to keep the money. I never really looked into it until I started listening to this segment, and Larry's insightfulness inspired me to wonder if that was accurate, if that's, you know, different annuities or different, you know.
So I will tell you this. Your big problem is that if it's a contract claim that has a 6-year statute of limitations, so you got to have somebody look at this quickly. I will tell you that typically if somebody's putting, if she put $100,000 into that and paid for that annuity and it wasn't in payment status, there's typically some kind of a payment that goes out. The other issue is you got to look back at the probate when the court probated her will or her estate to see if there was anything in there about it as well. Again, it doesn't sound, it sounds like there may be something there, but we need a little bit more information.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
All right.
Thank you for the compliment.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I don't mind NHL annuity. If I die, Annie gets squat.
Here's
so that, but that's yeah, it might, you know, might be because it's Canadian or something.
It could be. Did you know, it could be who put the money in too.
Yeah.
Here's a 978 text. The boss told me that he wanted to hire eye candy and he took shifts away from me because I'm a man. Is that legal?
Yeah, that's not legal. That's definitely
that's,
not legal.
That's not okay.
No,
the
not
guy
okay.
needs eye candy in the place. He got a bunch of Ugmos working there.
So I thought this was going another way. I thought it was going to be the ugly girl that went. I didn't realize it was going to be a guy that went.
And so he can't do that. And he can't say I want to hire. Maybe he meant. What if he meant I want to hire male eye candy? And this guy was not. It was not.
Just not a good idea.
First and only time I think you'll ever hear me say male eye candy on the show, unless referring to myself. So what is it? Well, so can he do that? Can he say I want to hire smoke shows?
But he's going to subject himself to a lawsuit.
Okay, because
that's not cool.
That's not right. All right. Well, listen, Larry. It's been a great year. Larry the Lawyer. Thank you for your very generous donation of $2,500 during the Rock for Change.
My pleasure.
And for being on the show all year.
Thank you for all the great things that you do for our community. And, you know, especially Firefighter Roy, who's a former resident of my town, Shrewsbury. And, you know, all of our hearts go out to his family and his daughter. And terrible situation. I have to say, it's not for people like you, Greg. These families would go through a lot worse because that time period between point A and point B when benefits start coming in, I don't think people truly understand how difficult that is, and God bless you for doing those kinds of things. You're a good man.
Well, we have the greatest radio audience ever, and they've already stepped up with $37,000, and there's more coming, so it's extraordinary. So, all right, Larry. That's Larry Army Jr. Go to armyandroach.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.